So this is Savannah Maitri, and I'm talking to you from Germany. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the day, my day, as a teacher. Or probably I'll probably tell you more a little bit about the highlights of my day as a teacher in Germany. So let's just imagine it's 8:10 on a cold and frosty, dark winter morning. And I'm standing in front of a class of mainly disaffected young 17-year-old boys. We are here to teach and learn English, me to teach and they to learn. Mainly they don't want to learn, but here in Germany where I've been teaching now, in fact for the last 30 years, if young people aren't lucky enough to get a job or an apprenticeship after they leave school at 16, then they have to come to what is more or less a college of further education to improve their prospects. They may want to do this in theory, but often in practice they've had more than enough of school and they don't see any great attraction in any further application. What they really want often is just to be somewhere else. It could be work, it could be a job and all that goes with it, some standing in society finally, money, being men and not boys. They want what they want and they want it big time. And this, for much of the week, is my practice ground. And it tests my patience and my metta, my virya, and just about everything. Most of all, it tests the degree to which my ego will not willingly allow itself to be trampled on. It's challenging and it's often rewarding. And I'm rewarded today in two ways. One, I do not lose my patience. And two, they do respect that. And I've had to put some hard work into that losing patience over the last couple of months following what was a complete loss of temper a couple of months back. Sometimes when I'm explaining something or requiring them to do something and it's obvious that they find this completely boring, a look of such dismissive scorn comes into their eyes that it tests my patience totally and often just makes me mad. I know why I'm mad. It's like I just don't exist anymore. There's such disregard for my person that makes something very primitive in me just want to fight back. Mostly I can resist this. After all, it is my job to do so. But one time recently, I really was tired or whatever, and I did blow up. Later, I was horrified and ashamed at how I had allowed myself to lash out. But in another way, it was good to experience this really, really extreme ill will, because it opened my eyes to the suffering I was not only causing to others, but also, of course, to myself. And I just vowed I would never react like that again, and I haven't. The whole incident showed up to me my deluded thinking. I thought I could get angry. I thought I was allowed to get angry in certain circumstances because it was justified or because it was for their own good. I was also amazed at how effective, afterwards I was amazed, at how effective an act of will just deciding not to lose it in that way again was in changing my habits of thought and consequent patterns of behaviour, which I think I'd been allowing myself to indulge in for some time. Sitting in front of the same class another day, while most of them are working relatively peacefully on some written exercise, I get a moment when I reflect on the conditions that are coming together in that particular moment, and I really see how the way that I respond to a difficult situation or a surly look will affect the rest of my day and my subsequent actions and interactions, as well, of course, of those of the kids who I'm standing in front of. And that almost makes it easy to lose my self-interest in just having a pleasant Vedana experience at that point. It's not all dramatic stuff in school. There's everyday practice. They're just trying to be aware, trying to be mindful, knowing what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, or the state of mind I approach any of task with, not allowing there to be too much going on at the same time so I lose this mindfulness, shining a light on the bad habits, but kindly. For example, there's my marking. I have a lot of marking, as all these courses are continually assessed, and some of the exams are also set and marked by me. What often happens after long periods at my desk, or when I particularly can't make head or tail of what they're trying to say, is I get angry. And I get angry because I'm losing patience, and it's unpleasant. And I've lost sight of there being people out there, and there being their future behind the papers that I'm involved with. I just see them then as an irritation or an annoyance in my life. The good thing about mindfulness in this kind of situation is I've found that the bad habits, once you've seen them, you can't forget them so easily. So although I do still occasionally break out in expletives at the impossible handwriting or the obviously not having read the question properly, I do recognise quite quickly what I'm doing and give myself a break, get a cup of tea, and then go back to it refreshed. And there's not everything in this practice that is, or in this job, that is a battle, far from it. I find there's quite a lot that's supportive. The general atmosphere, for example, among the staff at the school is uncomplicated, generous, positive. And that contributes a lot to the basic positivity pool that I feel I need in my day's practice. And there's classes which are open to hearing about the Dharma straight. For years, for example, I've taught J.B. Priestley's inspector calls in my A-level English groups, simply for the satisfaction I get from writing actions have consequences on the board. Sometimes we go on from there to explore the idea of karma, and sometimes from that there will come the request, well, tell us about Buddhism then. What do Buddhists believe? What do they do? And there's never any danger of me getting too carried away and going on for too long here, as once these students have heard enough, then they generally let me know. And I appreciate that. I actually appreciate spending time with these young people who are generally direct. In fact, they're almost always direct, honest and unpretentious. It somehow feels like a clean environment in which to be trying to live my practice. And the immediate feedback I get is a great help too, I find, with the worldly winds. There's not much danger here of becoming puffed up or infected with an overinflated sense of self-importance. Because although I may well come out of one lesson which has gone well in whatever way, the next one may just as equally well be a catastrophe, so that the best teacher in the world quickly becomes the worst teacher in the world. The real danger, I suppose, is of swinging emotionally with these judgments and not finding a place of equanimity. Sometimes this is painful, both in terms of the experience itself and, of course, the acknowledgement of how much further there is for me to go. But often, and it's much more often nowadays, I just seem to find a smile of amusement and a resigned, okay, well, let's keep on going. Let's keep on observing the experience, how things really are, in this very challenging, but what I really find ultimately a very satisfying practice ground.